Well, glory to God. Here we are again on a Wednesday. Lord, and I'm grateful for this time that we're going to have together. And as you know, we're in this place in John where Jesus is about ready to go into the Garden of Gethsemane. And he has these great teachings. And the more I read them and the more I go over them, I think these are some of the greatest teachings that Jesus... Well, right before you die, and you know you're going to die, that's when you pour your heart out into people that are around you, right? If you know you're going to die and it's just that time, you try to gather those folks that are most important to you and you pour into them the things that will give them life, right? And give them hope as they, because he's already said that he's going to be betrayed and that he's going to die and he's going to be in the grave three days, and then he's going to rise up. He's told his disciples that a couple times through this gospel, and now it's that day that it's going to happen. He is. They've just finished with the supper in the upper room, the Last Supper. Judas had his feet washed, and then Satan had entered into Judas Iscariot, and Jesus said, "What you must do, go and do quickly," and Judas left. And so they're in that place, and Jesus had told them about the promise of the Holy Spirit, and some of the things that were in that were just marvelous. I have this little spot marked in my Bible, and I always come back to this. It says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Amen? So that's in chapter 14, verse 15. But he was telling them those kind of things, those kind of deep emotional things, and giving them hope when they were about ready to see some of the probably the hardest and hopeless things that they would ever come to know in their personal lives. And so Jesus, he's at the end of the supper, and in verse 31 of chapter 14, he says, but the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do. Arise and let us go hence. At that point in time, they got up and they walked out and started going over the valley to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus, on his walk there, he's telling him, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he pruneth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." In those first four verses there's some very key things about your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus was definitely talking to his disciples there, but in talking to his disciples, he's also speaking to us. He's telling us some truth. The Father God, he's the husbandman. He's the one that cares and tends for the vine. There's another parable that Jesus uses about a fig tree in the midst of a garden that was dying. And the owner of the vineyard or the place where the fig tree was growing said, it's not bore any fruit, let's just rip it up and throw it out. But the husbandman, the one who tends to the vine, said, "No, let me dig around it first. Let me disturb its roots a little bit. Let me mess with it. Let me fertilize it. Let's see if it produces fruit later." And so the owner of the field said, "Okay, do that." And so the husbandman, the one who tended to the vine, tended to the fig tree, did that very same thing. He tended to it. Now here we have the picture that the Father is the husbandman. The Father God, Jesus, the sender of Jesus Christ. I was going to say call him the creator of Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ was created before the foundations of the world. So the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All right. The Father spoke and the Word did the work. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. All things that were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Then that Word became flesh, and John and the apostles beheld his glory. So we know that that Word is Jesus Christ. When God spoke, Jesus did things, right? When God spoke, he said, "Let there be," and Jesus said, "All right, we're going to make it be." So this husbandman is the one who tends to the vine, all right, that gives the branches the power to do what they need to do in life, which is to bear fruit, to grow. He says that every branch in me, in Christ, in the vine, that beareth not fruit, the husbandman takes away. All right, here's for that. Those folks who say once saved, always saved, this is a rebuttal to that. Well, let me put it this way. I can't put it any other way, can I? This is the way that it reads in the Bible. All right? Every branch in me that beareth... How does a branch be in Christ Jesus? Abide. Well, how do you get in it? How do you get into the vine? Jesus is the vine. How do you get in the vine? How does a branch become part of the vine?
Initially?
Yeah, initially.
First, God's got to move over.
There you go.
That's the start.
Yep. And then you got to trust him.
Bless with your mouth.
Believe in your heart, and then you're saved. So he's talking about folks that are in the vine. Their branches coming out of the vine. These are believers. Right. These are folks who had made a profession of Jesus Christ. They were in the vine. You're not in the vine unless you're born again. Right? Right? All right. So every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that is in Jesus Christ that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So those people that believe once you confess Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Jesus said, I can take you out. If you're not bearing fruit, if you're not being obedient to me. Remember what he said in John 14, 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. These are very important words, very important scriptures. Jesus is telling his disciples that you need to be in a position that you'll be able to bear fruit. All right? And if you're not bearing fruit, you're very much in danger of being taken out of the vine. I don't know where that happens in somebody's life. You know, I really don't know where God says, Kevin, you've asked not to be part of this vine long enough. You don't want to be a part of it. You don't have to be. And he says, you're done. Right? I don't know where that line is in life, but I do know I don't want to be anywhere near that line. I want to do my best to stay in the vine, receiving from the root of the vine that I might produce fruit, and that fruit that would be pleasing to God. All right? Every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he pruneth it, that it may bring forth more fruit.
Purges.
Prunes, purges, yep. So purging, have you ever pruned your grapevine? Purge, prune, or prune it? Pruneth, yeah. And so to make a vine or a fruit tree more productive, you've got to cut off the old growth. You've got to cut off the things that are not producing fruit. If in your personal life, the father, the husbandman, will say, Joshua, this thing in your life right here, we got to deal with that. All right? He says, I'll take it away if you'll offer it to me. If you, it's a long list, but he says, I'll take it away. We have an apple tree over in our front yard that was infected with cider rust. Cider apple rust, right? I think that's what it was. It's that red stuff on our leaves out there. The best way to deal with that is you pick all of those leaves off. If you don't pick all of those leaves off that are infected with that apple cider rust, then it affects the fruit. If you get out there and look at the fruit that's growing on that tree, it's deformed. It's rotting on the vine. Why? Because I didn't get out there in time to prune it properly, to take the disease out of it. All right, that tree was more than willing for me to go out there and take every one of those nasty leaves off of it. I wasn't a good husbandman to the vine, but the Father is. The Father knows the leaves that are in you that are infected with sin that need to be dealt with. And he says, let me take those away from you. Let me take them. Let me prune them. Why? That you might bear much fruit, that you would bear more fruit, that you would do the things or be able to produce the things that I want to produce out of you. Last night in men's group, we were in 2 Peter chapter 1, And we went over some things that was pretty fantastic because we got to talking about this portion of scripture to go along with it. And so there's I hate to call it a laundry list. Hold on a second. Okay, I do that? So I got two different places. And I got that one marked.
Yep.
All right. 2 Peter chapter 1.
Yep.
And so, yep. And so he's telling us there in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, starting in verse 3, according to his divine power, hath given unto us all things pertaining unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay, same thing with the vine and the branches and the fruit. God has given you everything that pertains to life. Everything that pertains to the way to grow, the way to mature, the way to produce happy and healthy fruit. All right? A way to escape the corruptions of this world through the lust of this world. Amen? Who here needs to be escaped? I need to get away from some of this stuff that's fogging my mind and messing up my focus on the Lord. And so, he said, verse 5, besides this, give all diligence. Give all what? Diligence. What's that mean?
Dig in.
Give everything, every ounce of power you have. Give all diligence. Add to your faith. Faith is the beginning, is your is salvation. Add to your salvation virtue. Virtue is your walk. Your, what was that word we used last night?
Purity.
It is your purity. It's your holiness. So I am in the vine of Jesus Christ. The Father wants to prune off the things on me that are not worth having, that are sinful in my life, the lust of this world. He wants to take it away. So he says, I need to add to that faith of my salvation, virtue. I need to add to him everything that allow the master to trim everything off of me that does not produce good fruit, right? I need to have virtue. I need to have an upstanding countenance before the Lord and before men. And once I get my virtue started working, and again, I don't want you to think this is about works. You cannot have godly virtue without a godly salvation. All of these things depend on your remaining in the vine. It depends on God doing the work in you. Right? It's not your work that does it. It's his work that does it through you. He allows you to grow in his mercy and his grace. So that virtue, add to knowledge. Okay? And when you have knowledge, you understand who you are in Christ. Add to that temperance. Temperance is a very beautiful word. And a self-control. Amen? Who needs a little self-control? Right? I could use a little more self-control. Who's supposed to add that self-control? You are. You add that self-control. God gave you the power to have self-control because you're in the vine and the Father's doing the pruning to you. But you've got to say, all right, God, this is sin in my life. This is the thing that makes me go out of control. Here it is. Help me to deal with it. And the Father, the husbandman, says, I got you. Joshua, I know this is too hard for you to do by yourself, so let me prune that off of you. And any plant that you prune, I know I've never heard a plant holler, but I have cut my fingernails too close to the quick. Hurts, don't it? All right, now imagine you're a vine and you're getting parts of you cut off. It causes pain. That pain causes growth. It allows you to start bearing righteous fruit. Knowledge, virtue, right? Temperance. It starts those things working. Patience. Oh, my goodness. Talk about a Holy Spirit word, something that would help me walk. Patience. Resting in the Father in such a way that patience starts coming out of me. Not that I just, well, tribulation works patience, right?
I was going to say, it's you pray for patience and you're going to get tested.
You're going to get tested.
That's the only way you're going to get it.
But the only way that you're going to get patience is praying for it and resting under God's pruning evidence, right? His cutting away the dead stuff out of your life.
That causes patience. Knowing that God's faithful, even when I can't be faithful, that causes patience. That allows me to rest and wait in Him and His all power to provide everything I need for life, for knowledge, for growth in Him. So add to that patience, godliness. Small g godliness, not big g godliness. Small g godliness means a godliness that if I abide in the vine, it will happen. Okay? Small g godliness is me learning that I don't have to swear. Me learning that I don't have to steal. Me learning that if I walk in the righteousness of God, He gives me the power to fight against all of the sin that lives within me. The pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, right? God gives you the power to live godly as you abide in Him. These things come from abiding in Christ Jesus. And so, in godliness, then comes brotherly kindness. After God is doing this work that I have faith, He's added to my faith virtue, He's added to my virtue knowledge, He's added to my knowledge temperance, He's added to my temperance patience, He's added to my patience godliness. Now godliness produces brotherly kindness. That's how we can be kind to one another, those who are in the body. All of these things you cannot do in and of yourself.
Well, that's the thing, when you mention
self-control, temperance. Yeah.
You know, it's like the Bible says, can the leopard change his spots? So when I hear the word self-control, I go, wait a minute.
Yes.
This is godly control.
Yeah.
This is something that is
amen. Outside. Yeah, it's not something that you can do in and of yourself, Kevin. Yeah, because I have no self-control. Yeah. The only thing that gives me self-control...
Self is the problem.
Yeah, self is the problem. Well, right. Temperance. The only thing that gives me temperance, that's the word here. In fact, in another place, it does call it self-control. All right. In that arena, the only way that I can do that or even approach it is through the power of Jesus Christ. And you only get the power of Jesus Christ as you abide in the vine. Right. And that's where all of this stuff. Amen. It's Him. It's not me.
Yeah.
All right. And how am I able to even grasp what self-control is? It's through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's through the knowledge of His power. It's through the knowledge of His divine power that He's given us everything we need for this life. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world
his
through
his divine
lust.
Nature.
Yes,
his divine nature. So that's what I hear. Self.
Yes.
Self control. I go.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Galatians.
Acts, where it says, "I must decrease."
Yes. Actually, that's John the Baptist.
John.
Yeah. So it is in Acts, just before John
Acts.
The Baptist gets his head took off.
I must
decrease.
So he can, but that's what that's.
Yes.
That's what that part there is, you know.
And that's only
part, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature.
Yes.
So we decrease.
Right. Right.
Yep.
He
we decrease. He increases.
Bad tree bring forth
right.
Bad fruit.
Amen. Bad root, bad fruit.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right. Right.
And so you've got to make sure that you are abiding in the branch.
That's
these things are in the vine.
The
these
vine.
Things happen not because of my ability to make them happen.
Yeah.
These things happen because I abide in the vine,
it's
and the
good.
Vine supplies the power that these things can be manifest in your life.
Right.
Right? So this is not about works for salvation or even works because of salvation. The one work in this is staying in.
Yeah.
It's not just starting the race, it's finishing the race. It's running all the way through it. And holding on to the truth of God, the power of God, and allowing the husbandman to trim off anything that causes the lust of this life to pervert the righteousness of God within the believer. Right? And so these things happen. Brotherly kindness will come out. And brotherly kindness, and charity. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're in the vine, right, if you're abiding in the vine and these things are being manufactured in you through the power of God, then he says that you'll never be barren. That means without...
You'll be fruitful.
You'll be fruitful. Amen. Yeah. In the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And what is the reason that the Father prunes us? We'll get back to that in John chapter 15 in a minute. That we might bear more fruit. Right? So all of this ties together. It's such a beautiful a dance that the scripture brings you into. Verse 9 is just as important as verse 8. Verse 9 says that, but he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Whoa, what a promise. What a responsibility. If you do these things. If you do these things, all right? If you lack these things, you're blind, you can't see afar off. And you've forgotten that you were purged from your old sin. This person that he's talking about that forgot it, he was what? Purged. What does purged mean? Cleansed. He was cleansed from his old sin. He was born. He had trusted Jesus Christ. God had went and blessed him. If you go on a little bit further in 2 Peter chapter 2, we won't get to that tonight because we're really in John chapter 15. But 2 Peter talks about... chapter 2, about falling away from the grace. As the dog returns to his vomit and the sow returns to her mire. That's a little bit later in chapter 2 of 2 Peter, but that's not where we're at. But that's, this here was important to go over because there are evidences of where you are attached to the vine and allowing the Father to do the pruning, right? Because if you're allowing the Father to do the pruning, you will be adding from your faith virtue and virtue knowledge as the scripture goes on. And it tells you that as you abide in the vine, these things just happen. It's like the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness. There's 7 of them. I don't know what they are right up there in Galatians chapter 6. But that's not where we're at. So verse 4 of chapter 15 of John. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Okay? Again, you're a branch, you're in the vine, you're not bearing fruit, you're cut off from the vine, and you're gathered up and you're thrown into a fire. Once confessed, always saved?
I never read that.
I don't see that here. This is Jesus talking. This ain't Curtis talking, all right? This is what Jesus had to say. These are some of the most important teachings he did before he went to the cross. The things that he was going to lay out for us. All right, so if you go back to the second part of verse 5, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. How do you bear fruit? By abiding in the vine. You, if you are not abiding in, what does abide mean? Obey. Amen. That's a good word.
To be in.
To be in.
Live.
Live. Amen. How about stick to it? Stick to it. Abiding in something, you stick to it. You through the hard times, you stick to it. When you don't understand how it's happening, you stick to it. You abide there. You don't do anything that would separate you from nutrients that come from the vine into the branch. If you see a fungus on you, a sin, you need to deal with that sin. How do you deal with the sin? Because if we say we have no sin, then you're a liar. Right? Because all of sin that comes short of the glory of God. So we all know we have a fungus, like our apple tree out there. We got a fungus. That apple tree needed something done to it that it would produce clean and better apples, better fruit. That would be taking the fungicided, the messed up leaves off of it, that it wouldn't spread those spores into the good fruit, which perverted the good fruit and made the good fruit bad fruit. So in your personal life, you have a fungus, right? And the good husbandman would say, if you really want it taken care of, confess it to me, because I'm not a tree.
Confess your sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive you.
Amen. And if we say he have no sin, we make him a liar, because he said all of us have sin. We all got things. We all have things in us. And as long as we're abiding in the vine, staying connected to Jesus Christ, he will show you your sin. He will show it to you. And he says, if you confess it to me, I will forgive. I will take it from you. Who here needs a little bit of time for confession? Amen? To come up before God and say, God, I have sinned against you. That's when we pray. I pray for the forgiveness of sin before I ever make a petition before God. Mm-hmm. You know, first I glorify him because he's holy, he's worth of all, and then I confess, Lord, I don't know what I did wrong today, but I guarantee you I did something wrong today. It's like my first grade teacher. First thing I got into class, she wanted to paddle me. I said, I've just walked into class. She says, I know you're going to do something. I'm gonna get you, because I know you're gonna do something. Get this thing straight. And so, in that he says, verse 7 again: if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask whatever ye will, and that shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so ye shall be my disciples. All right, those two verses right there. Let's look at them real close, real quick. Verse 7: If does that mean that you have a choice? Mm-hmm. Every time it says, if a man abide, if you abide, all right? If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. How do you get the word of God to abide in you? Anyone?
Read it.
You gotta read it. You cannot lay this Bible on your desk and it just soak into you osmosis. It just doesn't soak into you. You got to actually open this Bible, the Word of God, and get it in you. Especially when you're abiding in the vine. Now you've got the fruit, the juice, the power of God, and you open the Word of God, and then God speaks to you individually the things that need to be adjusted in your life. So you can, how many folks have you know that say, I've read the Bible, I didn't understand nothing about it? Let me ask you this. Were you abiding in the vine while you were reading the Word? And do you understand what I'm saying? Were you in the vine? Were you receiving the nutrients from the vine through the Holy Spirit when you were reading the Word of God? If you were, then you would, the Holy Spirit would speak to you. And he may not give you a great deep understanding, but he would meet you where you're at, and he would say, well, this here's what I need. This here's what you need from me. Come and get it. Right? And as you abide in him, and your words, his word is abiding in you, you start bearing much fruit. To God be the glory. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you.
Promise.
It's a promise.
But it's a contingent promise.
Come on, what's it contingent on, my brother?
You got to do your part.
Yes, you do.
Salvation, non-contingent.
Yeah.
Jesus paid the whole thing.
Yep.
No matter what we do, no matter. He was doing it.
Yeah.
This one's contingent.
Mm-hmm.
If abide in me, and my words abide in you, shall ask what we will, and it shall be done unto you. But the other side, if not.
Well, does that mean you can ask anything?
Yes, as long as it's His will.
His will. Life.
So how do you know what's his will and what's your will? And it's the word, when the Spirit of God is dwelling in you, all your want is the will of the Father. Jesus said earlier, I do nothing of myself. What I see the Father do, that's what I do. He didn't do anything on his own accord or for his own thing. He had a relationship with God, a relationship with the Father, and through that relationship, he heard the Father speak, and that's what he did. He didn't do anything of his own. Anything he asked because the Father wanted him to do it. He knew. When he had to go through Samaria to meet the woman at the well, his disciples didn't understand that. Where did Jesus get the unction to go to Samaria?
I must needs go. Right.
I've got to go. There's an appointment there. He was talking to the Father. The Father said, Son, hey, you got to go to Samaria. Jesus said, okay, I'm going to go. That's what I must need do. But he had a communication with the Father. He prayed. He saw often through the Bible, through John right here, I think we've read like 4 or 5 times that Jesus woke up early in the morning, separated himself, and he went and prayed. Early in the morning, separating himself from the cell phones and the Facebook and the TikTok and, well, actually, it'd just be whining disciples. But, you know, in our world, those would be the things separating ourselves from Fox News or CBN or NBC or separating yourself from the radio, getting quiet and alone with God.
The noise. People have to have noise.
Yeah.
And it always amazes me how they got to have some kind of rattle going on somewhere. You know?
And where does that come from? Because it wasn't always that way.
It's an emptiness. So I think it is.
Yeah.
I think you can be conditioned.
Yeah, thank you. You're conditioned to it.
Because silence actually has a sound too.
Yes, it does.
Completely silent. There's that little almost like hum.
Yeah.
But it's...
It's there.
I think people are conditioned that way.
Yeah. Well, you think about it. When you're in your crib, right? And there's that little mobile that's dancing over your head. You wind it up and it does some kind of tinky thing. Ding, 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 ding. That's Jaws. Da-dum, da-dum,
dum-dum, dum-dum, dum-dum. I mean, if you always drive the radio on, you'll be conditioned to always have it on.
Yeah.
But if you say, just make a choice... Right now, I think God may want to speak to me, so I'll turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
And you just turn it off. Now, whether he speaks to you or not,
at least
you're available if he was going to. And then at some point, you'd be conditioned where I don't really want the radio on.
Mm-hmm.
Not whether you're listening for God or not.
Sometimes I just like silence.
Amen.
I just like silence. Yeah.
It's different.
Silence is golden.
Definitely different.
Right? So it is. It's different to be quiet and still before the Lord. That way you can know what his will is. I think God's trying to tell us his will, but he won't talk over the noise to you. I'm not going to out-scream Ozzy Osbourne. I'm not going to out-scream, what's that, Kiss 96, Love Radio, K-Love. All right, I'm not going to out-scream Caleb to get to you. I'm not going to out-scream the, I don't know, I don't listen to radio enough.
It could be
anything.
It doesn't have to be radio.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be, right? It could be, I'm not going to out-scream the lawnmower, right?
Or your will.
Yeah, and so God says, it's a still small voice that speaks to you. It's not the thunderstorm, it's not the lightning, it's not the tornado.
How many times have you gotten a thought? God, the Lord drops something on you, and you go, "Yeah, I'll get to that. I'll think about it." Yeah, and then you just do something for a half a second,
back, and it's gone.
You've forgotten.
Yeah,
you don't know what it was.
Yeah, God. Well, what it is, God said, "I needed you to do something. You didn't do it, so I had to go somewhere else." God was trying to give you His will for that moment, for that time.
But even like an illumination, something that. And you just turn your face and I check that out. And then it's gone.
Yeah.
And I think the Lord wanted you
right then
to think about this, you know.
So to ask anything in his name and he'll do it? Yeah. Ask anything and you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. You got to make sure your will is his will. Mm-hmm. You know, you just can't be like Janis Joplin, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz?
Right.
You know? Because God won't give you that. That's not his will for your life. But if you're attentive to the vine, if you're attentive, if you're slow and quiet and listening and you're reading his word, God will lay things, God changed my will. All right? Before I knew God, I just wanted to be the best me I could be. I wanted my best life now. Isn't that the slogan came out with a couple years ago? That's all I wanted was me. Well, now God changed my will. My will's no longer about me. It's not about my wants, my desires. My will now has turned into more of his will. I want what God wants. So now when I ask anything in his will, guess what? I receive it. Actually, it's not crazy because the Bible said that. If you're abiding in him, his word's abiding in you, you can ask what you will, and he'll do it. You know, but you got to make sure your will is his will. He says in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even if I, as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. All right? Again, in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. What brings the Father enjoyment, glory? You bearing fruit. Faith, knowledge, virtue, temperance, patience, godliness, right? Charity, brotherly kindness. You have those things in you. That's what brings the Father joy. Love the brethren. Really and truly, you want to bring God glory? Pour yourself out as a drink offering. It's no longer your will, but his will that needs to be done. When you do that, then God gets the glory for it. It's not that you can do great things. It's that he can do great things through a human being that will humble themselves to him. It's all about God. Amen. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's always been about him. These things I have spoken to you in verse 11, unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Wow. Okay. All right. Who needs a little joy? Amen. I need a little joy. Well, how do I get joy? How do I receive that joy? By abiding in Jesus Christ. I abide in his word, and that brings joy. I do what the Father says, and that brings joy. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. I think it was in chapter 14. I don't give joy the way the world gives joy. So the world gives a different kind of joy than what Jesus gives. Amen? Have you experienced the difference between the joy of the world and the joy of God? The joy of the world is all about your lust, what you want, how you feel. The joy of the world is all about you. The joy of God is all about others. It's all about seeing God's movement in a hurting soul. Meeting people in the middle of their want or needs and supplying that need. You want to have more joy, start serving other people. I'll guarantee you. You want to have some joy, you want to have some relief from the stress that's in your life, find somebody in need and pour your life over that person, and I will guarantee you out of my personal testimony that your life will change for the better. It will. It's some of that God math. I really don't understand God math. It's all about obedience. Go ahead.
I just got two quick ones. I was trying to figure out where that was. So, and I'm not going to read the whole thing out. even though it'd be a blessing.
Yeah.
So in Psalm 37, I'll just go through the first five. Is that all right?
Yeah.
It says, Psalm 37, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Two, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Three, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart.
Yes.
Which he puts his desires in. And then five, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass.
Amen. There's where that's that joy he's promising you. That's the love that he's promising you. That's what he said. If you abide in me, those things are yours. When we lose that joy, go back to check to see if you're abiding properly. Are you really in the vine? Because if you're really in the vine and the Father's doing the trimming of your life the way that he needs to, as he touches your heart and he says, listen, this is what I want cleaned out of your life. Will you give it to me? Will you make that an offering to me? Lay your hands on it, confess it, and let me deal with it with you. And you stay in that, and God handles those things in your life. All of a sudden, this release. I've heard it said that I felt the weight of the world coming off of my shoulders. When you're really yoked up to Jesus, you have no burden at all. It's all carried by him. And so, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you, right? If you do whatsoever I command you. How many folks say, I'm a friend of Jesus, and you don't do anything he tells you to? And how do you know what he tells you to? It's written right here in the book. I mean, he made it as plain as he could. He put it in a sixth grade reading. If you can read sixth grade stuff, you can read the Bible. King James Bible. A lot of folks say, I can't read King James Bible. Too
actually,
many doses it's
the best
of that.
Of all the Bibles.
Pardon?
The lowest.
Yeah, the lowest comprehension level of all the Bibles is the King James Bible.
I don't understand.
For the most ignorant folks.
What is
thou
down to just
two commandments? Amen. And all of the commandments are fulfilled in these two. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, all your strength, all your heart. Everything that's in you, love God. And then love your brother as you love yourself.
Not easy.
Not easy.
But simple.
Well, if you don't do the first, you'll never get the second. So if you don't really abide in the vine, loving God, obeying his commandments, loving him the way that he tells you to love him, you'll never love your brother. In fact, you'll never love yourself. In fact, I don't think it says anywhere in the Bible, love yourself. It says love others a lot. You know, because it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the others around you. So, we will get into 15 next week. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. I want y'all to go home and read the rest of chapter 15 and really meditate on it. Wow, there's another great thing. We don't talk about this nearly enough. Meditating on the Word of God.
Yeah.
How many times do we speed read through it? Oh, I read 15 chapters today. Well, how much did you meditate on? No, I can't even remember what I read. Slow down. Pump
sometimes
the brakes.
Too much.
Yeah.
Or reading it like a novel.
Or reading it like a novel or the newspaper or a funny book, you know? You got to meditate on, chew them. Because, I mean, it's like taking a huge bite of delicious something. Peach pie is what I'm saying.
Prime rib.
Peach prime rib.
The office.
Yeah. And you don't even chew it, you just swallow it. Our grandson Xander, I've never seen a kid eat steak like this, but we cook really good steaks, right? And he'll take it and he'll cut hunks like this big and he'll just swallow it. He doesn't even chew it.
he a carnivore?
Yeah, I don't know what he is. Huh? He's a hungry young man is what he is.
Crocodile.
Yeah. So he rips it off and he rolls around in the carpet and swallows it.
Don't get in his way.
And I like to cut it in smaller pieces and let it just marinate in your mouth. Yes. And man, I'm slobbering now. You know? So the difference, right? Slow down and enjoy it. The Word of God is like the very best food, spiritual food, physical food you'll ever eat. It's the manna from heaven. Yeah. Don't just choke it down.
That's right.
Slow down. Let the honey and coriander melt on your tongue.
If you open the Bible up and you read five verses,
yeah,
and one of those verses just boom, mm-hmm. and the other person can read 50 chapters.
Yeah.
And
nothing.
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 It's your heart.
Yeah, it's your heart.
It's where your heart is.
It's slow down.
13 and 14.
Amen.
A
greater love hath no man than this, that the man lay down his life for his friends.
That one right there. Amen. That's a big boy right there.
Well, that's all about loving others. It's loving your brother.
Look what Jesus did.
Amen.
What's one of the best things you can do when you're hurting? Right, Dad? Cook him an apple pie.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm serious.
Yeah. Amen.
It is medicine to the soul.
It is.
Be a blessing to
someone. Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
To see Jesus, that's where my mind goes.
Right.
Carrying that cross.
Yeah.
Before, he was crucified and the weight of my sin on
his shoulder. Yeah.
You know what I mean? 10,000% perfect.
Yeah.
Did that for a scumbag like me.
Yeah.
That's on another level.
Yeah.
And then he says in 14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command.
Amen. So there are so many folks say that I'm a friend of God, but they don't do anything God tells them to do.
Liar.
They're a liar. You know? Well, how do you know somebody's your friend? When you're in need and they meet you there. Mm-hmm. Amen? That's how you know somebody's your friend. It's not because they say, I'm your friend, but it's when you know who your friends are? All right. When you don't have food on your table and you call for a friend and he brings you something to eat, that's a friend. Amen? If you're on Facebook and you got 50,000 friends out there and you say, I'm in a need, and crickets. 50,000 people don't give a rat's rear end.
50,000 likes.
There you go. 50,000 likes and no help.
No food.
Yeah. They're not your friends. I say that often. Facebook, computer friends are not your friends. Now, there may be some that you're kin to, and I know, I have one friend on Facebook. All right, I'm sure you do. You might have one friend on Facebook. But how many people call themselves your friend on Facebook? On my Facebook page, none. You know why? I don't have one.
There you go.
I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on Twitter. I'm not on none of that garbage. Amen. Tweeter. And
nitwit,
all those things. Next week, we will pick up. And no, next week we won't. Next week, Joshua's going to be standing here in the pulpit. And whatever the Lord lays on his heart will be what.
Shift gears a little bit.
Yeah. And know that you had said that you had something.
I'll pray about it. We'll see.
And so anyhow, by the grace of God, when I get back, we'll pick up here and carry on. Father, we are grateful. We're grateful for your word. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would desire to abide in you. That we would desire to rest in your all-sufficient power. Lord, that we would seek the truth that only comes from you. That we would humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he would raise us up on the right day, Lord. And we ask for that you would give us strength for the day that we're in, that you would give us hope for the tomorrow we're going to face, Lord, that you would allow us to love you the way that you've loved us, fully giving our heart to your heart, our will to your will, Lord God. We ask those things. I pray that you would keep us close to you, that we might bear much fruit,
that the Father may be glorified. Lord, let us be your disciples. Lord, you said that if we love our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, sisters, our children more than you, we could not be your disciples. And even our own life, we couldn't be your disciple. So, Father, I pray that you would teach us how to trust you beyond what we see, to love you more than we can love ourselves. Father, that we could continue in that love. Lord, that your word would be glorified and magnified in a lost and dark, dying world. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things in Jesus' name. Amen.